There you go. That's After Six, a track from the brand new album from Skritti Politti, the band's first album in 7 years. And I'm absolutely thrilled to be joined by Skritti's presiding genius, Green Gartside. And Green, I think to say that white bread, black beer has been hotly anticipated is maybe selling a little short.
Yeah, people say 7 years is a long time, but to me it doesn't seem, you know. I keep saying it's this like human years, dog years and Skritti years, you know. I don't really feel the passing of time, I think, like other people. I mean, I know you're supposed to make an album every, what is it, 2 years most people make an album? I don't know why. I mean, you can make one every 7 years.
Keep the record business happy?
You know, yeah, if you can get away with it, which I've managed to do.
You don't have, I'm guessing here, that much record business interference in how you make your music these days.
No. In fact, I never did. I've been very lucky in that respect. Well, it's kind of a curse and a blessing that people leave you alone. If you leave me alone, then I'll tend to sloth, indolence and the pub, and which is great.
Black beer and Guinness, presumably.
Of course. And occasionally I really need poking with a sharp stick, I think, to get on with doing some stuff. But no one ever pokes me with a stick, so I just get round to it in my own time.
I'm quite surprised, actually, because I would have thought from the sort of American days when you were sort of collaborating with, you know, all kinds of people, that there would have been quite a lot of pressure on you back then.
Well, there was, yeah, that's after what tends to, my MO has tended to be make a record, you know, despair of the industry and my fellow man, and run away for a few years, you know, usually to a cottage in Wales, do nothing, you know, get bored with that after a couple of years, make another record, and repeat as above. So, That's the way I've tended to sabotage my career thus far.
But well, you say repeat, and that is most certainly selling yourself short, because you're not repeating the music. You're definitely moving off into new directions. And this album in particular strikes me as being quite personal.
Very personal.
Which is quite unusual.
It is for me, yeah. I made it completely alone, which is a first for me. I always relied on other musicians. I always doubted my own skills. Although I wrote the songs, I always thought better to get another guitarist to come in and play the parts, because, you know, someone else is bound to be able to play it better than me. But this thing I did completely alone, at home, in a little room, about 12 by 12, and so I guess it is personal, and the lyrics are a bit more personal than ever before. And
I must ask you about the recording, because I find it extraordinary that you've managed to record this at home, because the gloss, just the production gloss alone, it sounds really fabulous.
That surprises me, really, you know. But I guess that's, well, partly it's the affordability of the technology nowadays. You know, what I can fit in the back room in my house. Back in the 80s, I used to pay, you know, thousands of dollars a day to have access to in studios in Manhattan and stuff. So that's got a lot to do with it, but I'm pleased it sounds a little bit shiny still.
Well, I'm still mystified. You see, I'm quite into Sparkle Horse, and they too get a sort of lo-fi tag slapped on them, and I listen to them on quite good hi-fi, as I have with your album, and I can there is clearly nothing lo-fi about the recording
at
all. Yeah,
I think that's, well, you kind of have to go out of your way to make things sound lo-fi nowadays, do you know what I mean? You have to kind of screw it up on purpose, because most of the, you know, the technology there will make you sound absolutely, you know, it'll record you just as you are.
And in terms of musicians, you've got them from the local pub, is that right?
That's absolutely true, yeah. Well, when I finished the album, I decided that it would be worth trying to play it live, although I hadn't played live for many, many years due to panic attacks and stuff. And the people nearest to hand were friends from the pub, and, you know, they could all play a little bit. And that seemed like a much nicer thing to do than getting in touch with, you know, great players from the States and hiring them into to be a band and stuff, and to do it with friends. And yeah, they all come from the local pub in Hackney. It's amazing.
It's brilliant.
I know, so it's extraordinary.
When it comes to writing a record like this, you've dipped back into what, personal experiences? I mean, there's a song here about your teacher.
Yeah, Mrs. English Hughes teacher. Was my English teacher. And she, I don't know, there's a lot of the influences on this record are kind of childhood things. I think there's a lot of sort of the music that I was listening to when I was a kid, you know, growing up in South Wales, Radio 1 was the big thing for me. We moved house like every 12 months, and the one constant was the radio. And I listened to the Beatles and the Beach Boys, and then started listening to John Peel and folky things. And those are the influences that I think have surfaced this time round. And, yeah, which kind of makes it even more personal. And I don't know. It kind of works.
Is it? I mean, when you mention things like panic attacks, which I guess have been fairly well documented, have you been through some kind of journey, which is why you've got to this stage where you can start maybe singing about yourself? I mean, it's not always about yourself. You twist and turn and you...
Yeah, the twists and turns are important. I think it's one of the good things about getting older, and I'm delighted to report that there are more good things about getting older than there are bad things, which is good news for us all. And, it's kind of settling down. I got married recently, you know, got a house, garden, cats, friends, pub, and that all kind of helps to give you a sense of security, and I think makes you feel more able to express yourself and be honest about yourself and have some confidence.
It's so strange, because I expected quite a sort of reclusive, shuffling figure to come
shuffling.
Through. Yeah, from reading interviews and hearing, you know, he's gone away and spent, you know, the best part of a decade in a cottage in Wales, and I know it's been written, it's probably already annoying you, but you know, you do look in remarkably good condition for someone who spends his time consuming presumably white bread and black beer.
I do, yes, that's breakfast and dinner to me, and I'm doing okay actually. I'm not shuffling yet, you know, so I've got that yet to look forward to.
Well, and what about the nerves, the stage fright, the panic attacks? I mean,
that's got much better. You know, we did some gigs under an assumed name at some, you know, just very small venues in London to test the water, and I found that I enjoyed it more than I was frightened. You know, I mean, I was still very nervous, but the pleasure outweighed the anxiety just enough to want to do it again. And on each occasion, although we've only done about 7 gigs so far, it's, you know, the fun has become greater than the worry. So I think I should continue.
Good. Can I ask how the panic attack started? Because presumably in the very early days, you weren't nervous.
No, I wasn't. It just, they came on gradually over a period of, a year or two, I think. And we were gigging quite a lot then. We used to play a lot with Joy Division, Echo and the Bunnymen, the Gang of Four. We were always sort of on those kind of bills. And I used to get anxious the day of the gig, and then it would be getting anxious the day before the gig. And finally, it was just, you know, just what didn't seem to me like it was worth it. And that kind of coincided with me deciding that I was tired of indie music in the UK, and so I went off to America, where sort of funk and black pop music became my passion, and which coincided with the birth of MTV and people telling me you could have a career in music with just making videos. And astonishing, for a few years I did, you know, didn't play live, you know, at all.
And enjoyed a very successful period as well,
yeah,
commercially.
Extraordinarily. Although there was a high price to pay, because you do have to do, you know, lots of silly television programmes around, you know, Japanese morning chat shows and things, which I did lots of, which is a kind of blows your mind a bit and slightly soul-destroying, but I got through it.
I can't imagine, really, because I know you're into your philosophy and you're into your politics, and I can imagine the kind of questions you got on a Japanese TV show.
Yeah. Just thinking about it makes me feel a little nauseous, to be honest. But we're going back to Japan soon, but this time to play live, which I think is going to be a lot easier, probably, than, you know, answering questions at breakfast time on TV.
Now, your music has reflected many, many influences, and you've name-checked some already. What are you grooving to at the moment?
I'm grooving to old-school hip-hop, I think. I've got... This, you know, although I've loved hip-hop for many, many years, and it's, you know, sometimes been the only kind of music I've wanted to listen to, just recently I decided, you know, I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of it, and so I went back to kind of filling in the gaps in, and I found some, like, really early stuff that's just blown my mind, so... That's you know, what I'm loving.
I was talking to our producer before this, saying, you know, I was slightly disappointed that I didn't hear anybody like Mos Def on this album, just because I could almost feel gaps where I could expect someone to come and rap over something.
Well, I did do some tunes a few years ago with a rapper in New York called Skills, and those tracks will be released fairly soon, I think. So I haven't lost interest in hip hop, and there's more of that yet to come.
Okay, one other question I'm intrigued by from reading recent interviews about you is a conscious attempt to learn how to forget things. How do you do it?
Well, the Guinness helps, and years of practice. I don't know, really. Active forgetfulness, it's called. You know, and,
I love it.
If you can master it, it's fabulous. Occasionally gets you into trouble, but for the most part, it's the way to go.
Did you worry about forgetting lyrics, or you can remember
those? No, I can't remember lyrics at all. You know, when we play live, they're the sort of written out and put on a music stand. I think people think I'm reading music, which makes me look, you know, even more of a sort of egghead. But in fact, it's the lyrics, because I've never bothered to... Well, you know, after I've written a song, I never listen to it again, because once it's done, it's done. And so there's never any time to learn it.
Well, that may be forced to... I may have to force you to change that today, as we're going to play one more of your tunes in just a moment. Thank you very much for coming on, Green.
Thank you very much.
The new album, White Bread, Black Beer, is out now. It is absolutely wonderful, as our regular listeners will know. Plus, if you want to see a comparatively rare event, you can see Skritti Politti play live dates early next month. Brighton, Oxford, Portsmouth, London, I shall be there, and Norwich. Don't forget, if you missed any of tonight's programme, then you can always listen again at bbc.co.uk/radio2. But that about wraps it up. My thanks to all my guests this Friday, Peter Whittle, Alex Hemsley, Colin Patterson, Alan Bleasdale, and Green Gartside. Congratulations to Des Brown from Newcastle, by the way. He has won everything we reviewed on tonight's show. He knew Nigel Planer was the actor who appeared in the original West End version of Evita, and not Nigel Harmon or Nigel Havers. On next week's Weekender, we've got Wayne Coyne of the Flaming Lips, Susanna Clapp reviews the latest plays, and we've the incomparable Francis Wheen on the books that changed the world. Live music, Marc Lamar's coming up next on Radio 2. My thanks once again to Green. I know it played it last week, but I can't resist playing out with Skritti's current single. Here's Boom Boom Bap. See if this one sticks in your head like it does with me. I'll see you next week.
Boom Boom Bap. Tap tap tap. That's the beat of my life. Oi, heart drop. Oh, Papa, don't stop. Bittersweet about life. No, the barroom bell.